بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salam and salam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. Last night we talked about pledges, the legal and illegal pledges, in Arabic known as al-bay'ah. And also we talked about partisanship or hizbiyah. And today, in continuity on this, I would like to talk about certain practices in the Muslim world taking place in the form of so-called protests, like demonstrations holding to one place and then protesting within this place, and also what is called strikes. Because some people in our times take everything which comes to us from the East or West, including these practices from demonstrations and strikes and taking place sittings in certain places, demonstrating inside a factory or inside a campus and so forth. And some people have taken these means and they consider them as means for da'wah, alaykum as-salam, as means for da'wah. So let's look at them first, whether this is really the case or not. First of all, what is intended by demonstrations? What is intended by demonstrations? It means that group of people will come out to a street or a main road carrying banners or shouting and yelling, demanding certain things to be done or to show strength or the like. And this is in Arabic known as mudahara. The second type is sittings, sitting in places, sticking to that place. And this is known in Arabic as i'tisam. In our times it means to sit in one place, like the headquarters of a certain party, or sit in front of a parliament, or in factories, campuses, and the like, sitting for a certain time, not leaving, in objection for a certain thing to be corrected or demanded. This is known as i'tisam. The third is the idrabat in Arabic, which means the strikes. And the origin of the term means refrainment. So if you say I strike due to this and so forth, meaning I refuse and I deny and I hold back from doing such and such. Again, this is also becoming a practice in many societies. In order to request for something, so you hold on from doing certain things. Like workers, for example, refusing to go to work, demanding increases in salary, or for students, for example, having a strike, not going to school, protesting a certain matter. These are the meanings of these actions. The question is, how did these things creep to the Islamic societies? Mostly this came from the West, where it really appeared in the very beginning. Then it was transferred through mostly political and secular parties to the Muslim world. Then afterwards, it found its place with Islamic groups who imitated such a methodology, and they tried to find some kind of evidence in Sharia, in Islam, to support such practices. So what is the evidence that these Muslim groups who use these methodologies, what's the evidence that they took in order to practice and find a proof, a justification, quote unquote, for such practices? Some of them wrote in some books, and by the way, they are not scholars. Most of them are leaders of groups or thinkers or writers. They said, after the Islam of Umar, after Umar accepted Islam, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet ﷺ came out on the head of two groups from his companions, two rows. On one was Umar and the other was Hamza, in order to show power and show strength before Quraysh, or in front of Quraysh, so that Quraysh, the pagan Arabs, know that the Muslims became strong. This narration was reported by Abu Nu'aym in his book Al-Hiliyyah, and Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar reported this in his book Al-Isaba, and related it to Muhammad bin Uthman in his book of history. And he reported it in his book Al-Fath, relating it to Al-Bazzar. The narrations revolve of this incident that was reported in these references that I gave you, really revolves upon a person by the name of Ishaq bin Abdullah bin Abi Farwa. And his hadith is rejected, doesn't stand to be a proof, so the narration cannot be affirmed. Secondly, they also take as a proof the gatherings of Muslims during the times of Eid and the times of Fridays, and they think that this is in itself is evidence for the permissibility of demonstrating and sittings and showing strength. In response, we say there is no dalil, there is no evidence in this. These are acts of worship, and they are not and cannot be linked to such practices or demonstrations and strikes and sittings and the like, because these gatherings, the Eid and the Fridays, is to make manifest the symbols of Allah in worship, in accordance with the way which Allah chose and commanded. And we cannot take more than that. And we cannot stretch it the way we want, because this would be an abuse of this. So therefore, there is no justifiable, legally justifiable stand for these actions of demonstrations, protests, and the strike. Now, what are the effects of such practices? First, such practices brings forth forms of chaotic behaviors in the streets, from crowding and so forth, and this negatively influence the affairs and benefits of people. Not only that, but it could only and easily subject the lives of many to dangers. In addition, the atmosphere, quote unquote, of these demonstrations is very fitting for the occurrence of theft and robbery during the days of demonstrations, and many businesses could be affected also. Not to mention that in many parts of the Muslim world, those demonstrating, if you don't close your shop, they may end up rocketing it with stones and the like, or even label you as a traitor. Secondly, even when people try to go along so as to protect their benefits, they end up closing their shops. And this really in itself is a negative influence on people's affairs and economy. Thirdly, demonstrations are golden opportunities for people having hidden agendas and people of fitna to infiltrate the ranks, to the degree that some of them may use even firearms in order to strike the fitna, or to escalate so-called the situation between the demonstrators and security people, who in turn the security will return fire. Fourthly, it instigates enmity and hatred, instigating enmity and hatred between the people of the same society, the security forces on one hand, and the civilians, whereby the security forces will try to stop the demonstrations, leading to confrontations and shedding of blood and injuries, and then it becomes a revenge. Fifthly, holding to the economical production, holding the economical production in many sectors because of the strikes, because most people who want to demonstrate, they request from the businesses and the like to share, and you see factories coming to a halt at times when the country is in most or in dear need to the collaboration amongst individual members of the society in all ranks. Sixthly, disturbing the security, overall security, and disrupting the overall security in the lands due to the confrontations. Seventh, those who took from such practices as means of worship, they are worshipping Allah, quote unquote, through a means which is not legalized and baseless. So they, quote, end up worshipping Allah through a way not acceptable to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for any action to be correct, it must be based upon pure intention and itself being legal, condoned by Sharia. And the actions of Muslims who do these things is like, or it reminds us with the saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, when he said, كَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرِ لَمْ يَبْلُغُ. Many are those who intend good, but they do not achieve it. Could not achieve. Because in order to attain the good, you have to work according to the sunnah, to the legal ways. And eighthly, these practices hasten the confrontation between the groups and governments. Why? Because such demonstrations will make these groups in the eyes of the governments as a threat, and therefore a threat for its survival and security, and therefore the plotting begins to deal with these groups, and sometimes not in a pleasant way, leading to continuous enmity and mistrust. The saying that such practices are permissible led to utilization by the rejectionist Shia, who ended up making demonstrations during Hajj against what they called imperialism, and this led to many being killed from the innocent people in Hajj, and we all remember that. Some misconceptions. Some people say that in some countries may regulate the demonstrations and permit it in accordance with their laws. So what's the problem therefore in doing the same? We say even if the governments would allow such practices and such regulations, then we should not resort to them, because there is no legal evidence for them. And basically, we have to go with what the Sharia goes, irrespective of what may take place. Since we don't go with a general motto that says, objectives justify the means, in Islam objectives must be legal and the means to attain them must be legal. And if some person says, well, such and such person consider this to be permissible, we say these practices were not from the practices of the Salaf, and had it been something good, they would have resorted to it. And we don't have any report to indicate as such. And suppose even if someone gives a fatwa, what matters really is the dalil, because any saying without a proof cannot be considered, even if it is mentioned by the most knowledgeable of people, because we have to follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, who informed us of all that is good for us in all matters, in aqidah, in worships, in manhaj, in methodology, in all of our affairs. So if someone now says these practices had some benefits during some times or in some countries and brought some useful results, then in response, such success, if any, in some countries or during some times, is not a proof for its permissibility, since the criteria is the affirmation of the dalil, of the evidence, and the acting of the salaf. Furthermore, we say, if they were successful during certain times, they also most often were not successful, and they only led to casualties and hastened the confrontation with the Islamic groups and to the disintegration of these groups in many countries. And this is a matter which is known and it is still going on in some countries. These are some points concerning some of these contemporary matters which are counterproductive and have depleted a lot of the energies of Muslim groups and Muslim youth in many parts of the Muslim world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and save our societies from all forms of corrupt and deviant practices, and to show us the truth and make us follow it, and show us the falsehood and safeguard us from that. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.